All right. Thank you, Sister Sanford. Beautiful song. There's a lot of consolation in that song. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. We're all going to have to cross that river. And it would be awful to have to cross that river alone, wouldn't it? But the Lord will be with us. It's good to be in the house of the Lord again today. And we do desire and interest in your prayers that God would give us leadership and direction, and that he would bless us with his divine presence. I pray that every person present today will be aware that you're in the presence of God before we leave, if you haven't already done so. I'd like to invite your attention to the third chapter of 2 Timothy. I'm going to read about three different places, and this is where I'm going to start. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I'm going to read five verses here. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. And then I want to look at verses 12 through 14 in this same chapter. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And then I want to go to the first chapter of James, and in verse 26, verse 26 and 27. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, his religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fathers and the widows in their afflictions and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now, that's my scripture lesson for today, and I pray that God will add his blessing to the reading of his word, and that it'll be for our good and for his honor and glory. I want to use as my subject title for today, the old-time religion. The old-time religion. I want you to pray as I try to speak. Religion has reference to, I suppose, practice more than anything else. The way you worship God. How you go about worshiping God. There's all kinds of religion. There's true religion. We read where James spoke of pure religion. And there's false religion. And there's vain religion. There's all kinds of religion. But I believe that we, as a church, I believe we practice true religion. I believe in what we, our doctrines, our statement of faith, I believe in them. I believe in the way we worship. I believe that we worship God in spirit and in truth. And that means according to the Spirit and according to truth. The Lord Jesus said, he that worshipeth God must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so if you're not worshiping in spirit and in truth, then it's vain, isn't it? It would seem to me that it would be. There's a big difference in worship nowadays and what it was years ago, don't you think? I see a difference in many places. We're to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit and to do things according to the Word of God. And so that's what we try to do. Now, my lesson said that in the last days, perilous times would come. And it tells about the changes that would take place in men and women, and how that their desires would change, and it says that these changes would take place, and they would be selfish. This is a paraphrase of what I just read in 1 Timothy 3, 1 to 5. They would be selfish and covetous and proud and boastful, unholy and unthankful, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, and having a form in their worship with no power. I think we see that in lots of places. I think even ourselves, we all realize and know that we don't have the power in our midst that we once have. At least we don't see the demonstration of it. Now, I don't mean that I think God has forsaken us. He has not. And neither have we forsaken him. But our form of worship has a lot to do with how we see the demonstration of his power. And so I want you to just think with me today, because I feel like this is important to our times. The Bible says that evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Do you think that has any effect upon us? I think that it does. I think we are exposed to all kinds of evil that people in generations past were not exposed to. I remember when, most everybody, their word was their bond. You could trust them, If they told you something, it was the truth, Oh, there was a few people, that were out to take advantage of other people. But for the most part, the common people of our country, they were honest. So you could trust, you could trust people and you could trust what they said. So these evil men and seducers that have arisen, they are not only deceived themselves, but they're practicing deceiving other people. Now, they may not know it, They may be ignorant of that fact. But I believe that certainly we're living in perilous times, dangerous times. Religious liberty is under attack, A fear, it seems like, among people today. You're afraid to say what you think and what you believe, and you're afraid to practice what you know is right. I'm not talking about you all in particular, but I'm talking about in general. There is a fear of reprisal, a fear of something happening to you if you if you really practice what you believe and what you have been taught. Now, the Bible tells us, and Paul writing to Timothy, he told about how these changes were going to come about in the world and in the last days. But he said, but thou, talking to him personally, but I want you to continue in the things which you have learned and has been assured of. Now, I believe that we know the old time religion was real, don't we? We know the old time religion, the way our forefathers practiced, and the way that they taught. We know it was right. We know it was truth. And we should not stray from that. We should hold fast that which we have been taught. And we should practice what we have been taught is right and what the Bible teaches. And so we are to continue in these things, knowing of whom we have learned them. Our forefathers, you know, the old-fashioned preachers that have preached the everlasting gospel down through the years, and the old-fashioned mothers and fathers that have been faithful and have stood up and confirmed the Word of God as it has been preached. And so, you know, I believe that we ought to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. The Bible said, if any man be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, said he's deceived himself. You know, the Word of God is true. I know the Word of God is under attack also. The Word of God, you know, is being rewritten, you know, year after year. New editions are being put out and it's all being changed. You know, different wording. Perhaps in some cases that's for the good and perhaps it is not. I know that languages and words have changed over the years, and maybe some words don't mean the same thing that they used to mean. But I believe that the Word of God was written by divine inspiration. I believe that God inspired His Word to be written down. And it was written for our learning. For our learning. It's not just, you know, to have... you know, fill up space to make the Bible thick, you know. But all of the things that are in the Bible are written for our learning so that we can profit by it, so that we can know the will of God, and so that we can know what is right and what is wrong. And, you know, we're living in a day when, you know, good is called evil, and evil's called good, you know. That's not hard to prove at all. We know that, you know, God has not changed. And the Bible said that His Word is forever settled in heaven. And when we stand before God at the judgment, we're going to stand before Him and be judged according to the things that He inspired to be written in the book. It's not going to be according to our opinion of this or that, but it's going to be according to the Word of God when we stand before Him in judgment. Now, I was thinking about this, and now some of you remember Brother Duncan Houchins, and he's been with the Lord now several years, but he was our song leader for many years. And every once in a while, he'd sing a song that was called The Old Camp Meeting Days. I don't know how many of you all remember that, I just want to refresh your memory for just a moment of the words of that song. I probably ought to look at them rather than to try to remember them. But it says, long ago when but a lad at old camp meeting time, how our hearts would beat with joy to hear the old bells chime, calling all the saints of God into the house of prayer. Oh, what singing, praying, shouting for the Lord was there. And then the second verse says, preaching in those good old days was filled with holy flame, preaching for the souls of men and not for worldly fame. Under such old-fashioned preaching, sinners knelt to pray, and the Lord would save them in that good old-fashioned way. And then the last verse says, in these latter days, they say there is no use to pray. All we need is thank religion. It's a better way. But I am here to tell you, brother, Jesus saves from sin. In that old-time way, he saved me. He now dwells within. So, and the course said, I like the old-time way. Preaching. Let me start over. I like the old-time preaching, praying, singing, and shouting. I like the old-time reading of God's Word. I like to hear the old-time hallelujahs, glory. And I like the old-time worship of the Lord. Now, I have tried to lay a foundation for what I want to say. And, you know, the ministry is not only the ministry of the preacher. The ministry is the ministry of the church. We're all involved in the ministry of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus saved us. And he didn't just save us to keep us out of hell. And yes, I believe that hell is real. I believe it's a real place. And I believe that if you don't get saved, you'll die and go to hell. And I believe if you die and go to hell, you never will get out. I believe that hell is eternal as heaven is. And hell is as real as heaven is. I wish I could emphasize that to all of you young folks. Jesus came and died on the cross to save people or to keep people from going to hell. And if you get saved, you don't have to worry about going to hell. Because the blood of Jesus has cleansed us from all unrighteousness. And we stand before God justified as though we had never, ever committed a sin of any kind. Because they're covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus. Now, I've said that to say this. The preacher is important in the ministry. He is important because he is the sower of the seed. We read in the Bible about the sower going forth to sow. God calls men to preach. He wants us to preach the Word of God as it is written, as it is in the Bible. Not our own opinions of what the Word of God may say, but we're to preach the Word. Paul said to Timothy that in the last days that some would depart from the faith. And they would give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I want you to preach the word. I want you to be instant in season and out of season. I want you to reprove, to rebuke, to exhort. And I want you to do it with all longsuffering and doctrine. The doctrine has reference to the written word of God. What it says. And it's to be done in long suffering. It's not appropriate for a preacher to preach in anger. You know, well, we're to preach the word in love, even to those who have, have drifted away from God and maybe living in sin. You know, we're to still approach them with love and with the desire to rescue them rather than to damn them, you know. And so preach the word and be instant, in season and out of season. And so when we preach, you know, we don't target somebody to preach to. Heard one preacher one time, was at an associational meeting. He kind of got carried away. And somebody said something he agreed with, and so he said, you just wait till next Sunday. I'll get you, you know. Well, you know, that was completely out of order. Completely out of order. We should never target anybody, you know, to preach a sermon to. We should preach the word of God because it is for all people. And we can learn from it. And we can grow from it. And we can get stronger. And we can be established in the word of God. And so the preacher, he broadcasts. That's the point I'm going to make. In the 13th chapter of Matthew, the sower went forth to sow. And he sowed the seed. And some of it fell, on stony ground. And some of it fell by the wayside. And some of it fell among thorns and thistles. And some of it fell in good ground. And you know, the only seed that produced was the seed that fell in the good ground. You know, so we broadcast, we preach the word of God. The word of God fits every individual. I mean, it is for our learning that we might grow in grace and in the knowledge of the truth. And even as newborn babes, new converts, the Apostle Peter said that we should desire, that is, hunger for. You know, I don't know if y'all can tell or not, but I've lost some weight. I've been on a diet, you know. And I get hungry, you know. And I want something to eat. Well, Peter is saying that you should want to feast upon the word of God. You should want to be nurtured by it. You should want it to give you strength that you can go forward in the work of the Lord. And so he said, desire the sincere milk of the word that you might grow thereby. And so the preacher, he broadcasts the word, you know. You don't know where it's going to go. You don't know into whose heart that it may lodge. You don't know who that it might affect in a spiritual way. You know, there may be some in an audience that are not saved, and that word may make them aware that they're without God and that they need to be saved. It might affect somebody else in a different way. Maybe somebody who has drifted away from God and they're not living right, they're not living like they should, and that word will reprove them and cause them to realize, I need to straighten my life up. And so we preach the word. We just preach the full word of God, and we let it fall where it may. And the Holy Spirit of God is able to take it and place it right in the heart that needs it, you know. And so that's the way I try to preach. I try to, preach the word of God and leave the results up to the Lord. Because I can't change it anyway. You see, the Bible said the word of God is quick and powerful. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing of sunder of soul and spirit, of joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Do you know, sitting right now in this building, in these pews, God's Spirit is able to discern what you're thinking. He knows exactly what you need. And I pray that God today will direct the Word of God to everybody's heart as it is needed. Now, we not only need to sow the seed. Do you know that if you sow seed and it doesn't rain, or you don't irrigate, or you don't sprinkle the ground where the seed have been sowed, that the seed will perish. They won't germinate. It takes moisture for seeds to germinate. That's why the seed that fell on stony ground didn't bring forth anything. You see, there was no dirt. There was no moisture. It just laid there on the stone, and it, you know, didn't produce. It didn't produce. But, you know, after we have sown the seed needs to be watered. You know, the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and he talked about Apollos planted, and I watered. But it was God who gave the increase, you see. But the watering is needed as well as the sowing. And you know, in singing, I believe as a church, I believe when we sing and we make melody in our hearts to the Lord, you know, I believe that that's a form of watering the Word of God. I believe that the seed that has been sown, it can be affected by the singing that we do. When we sing the right kind of songs, and we sing them in the right way, and we sing them at the right time, it has a great bearing upon the Word of God that's been preached. And so we sow the seed, and as a church, we water it, you know. That causes it to take, you know, to germinate, to come alive. That makes the Word of God become alive in the hearts and souls of men and women. And that it requires that if there's going to be any change in them. And so the testimonies, you know, the testimonies of God's people are really important. Now, I said our way of worship has changed somewhat. And you're going to have to admit that it's the truth. It has. You know, testimonies are really important. Testimonies confirm the Word. You see, singing waters the Word, but the testimonies of God's people confirm it. The testimony says, that preacher told us the truth. That happened to me just exactly like he said. I got under conviction, and the Lord caused me to be sorrowful for my sins. And I sought the Lord, and I prayed, and I asked forgiveness, and God saved me. Now, folks, those testimonies, they give weight to the Word of God. They make it more effective. They make it more effective. And prayer, what about prayer? Prayer invokes help. Prayer says, Lord, we need you. We need your help. This is beyond anything that we can do. We need the power of your Holy Spirit to do this work that needs to be done in the hearts and lives of boys and girls and men and women. I had a conversation recently And I don't know, I don't want to, it wasn't in confidence, but at the same time, I don't want to say the wrong thing about it. But we were talking about, some people think that in conversion that prayer is not needed, you know. But it is. It is. You know, we're saved by grace through faith. But do you know that it is Almighty God that brings that conviction to the heart that enables a person to repent of their sins, and He gives them the faith to trust in Jesus? You can't believe on Jesus just any time you want to. You can't do it. You know. You can't just say, I'm going to accept Jesus as my Savior today. That's not the way it works. Salvation is by the grace of God. He provided the means whereby you can be saved. But He don't save without repentance. And you won't repent of your sins without the help of God. You know why? Because we are sinners by nature. And it's our nature to sin. And it's our nature to love sin. And we won't turn away from it until the power of the Lord enables us to do so. And so, prayer. God's people need to pray, but sinners need to pray. Some people advocate that God won't hear a sinner pray. Well, I'll tell you, the only thing that proves is that that person never has been saved. Because God does hear sinners pray. He heard me pray, and He heard you pray if you've been saved. And you didn't get saved without asking the Lord to save you. It's a prayer is the sincere desire of the heart. Sometimes prayers are expressed in words. That's true. Sometimes they're expressed in songs even. But I'm telling you that real prayer comes from the sincere desire of the heart. So we need preachers that'll preach like the old preachers preached. You know, I don't like this feel-good preaching. Do you? No, I don't believe that. I believe that if you're going to get saved, you're going to have to first feel bad before you feel good. And that feel bad, and I don't want you to misunderstand, I'm not talking about being physically sick or physically ill or nothing like that. It's not a physical thing that takes place when you get saved. It's a spiritual thing. I tell you, you become heartbroken. Your spirit is contrite, and you know you're not right with God, and you know that there's something lacking in your life, and you know that if you don't find the Lord and get saved, that you're going to die and go to hell. I tell you, those things were real to me when I was seeking the Lord. The Holy Spirit, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, it empowers the Word. It makes it effective. I could stand up here and preach all day and all night, you know, but if the Holy Spirit don't empower it, you know, it'll just fall on deaf ears. So, I like the old time preaching, praying, shouting, singing. I like the old-time reading of God's Word. I like to hear the testimonies of God's people. And I like to see people get happy in the Lord. You know, we don't hardly ever see anybody shout. And there's nothing that I dislike more than somebody putting on a shout. I believe that real shouting comes from the heart. And I believe that when you shout, you don't have anything to do with it. When you really shout. I used to have a member. She was 103 years old when she when she died. But when she was 102 years old, I saw her shout. And she had a little handkerchief she held in her hand. She didn't do this very often, but when the Lord got a hold of her, she'd shout. And she'd just jump up and down. And she'd done that for I don't know how long. There's no possible way that she had the physical strength to do that at 102 years old. It was by the Holy Spirit that she was shouting. I love real shouting. And I hate fake shouting. And so anyway, I think we've drifted. I think we need to, you know, try to get back to the old time way of serving and worshiping the Lord. I believe it's the best, don't you? I really do. I guess I've said enough. Some of you may think I've said too much. But I haven't directed anything that I've said today at any one person in this building, nor any one person on television or on Facebook. I'm just preaching to you what I believe the Word of God teaches, what it teaches. You know, the Pharisees, man, they had religion. But every bit of it was to be seen of men. They'd stand on the corners and they would pray long prayers in their religious garb. And the purpose of it was to be seen of men. Anything you do in the flesh, you know, if anybody pats you on the back and said, I really enjoyed it, that's all you're going to get out of it. That's all you'll get out of it. There's no reward for pretending. No reward whatsoever for pretending. And so, anyway, I hope God will help us to be doers of the Word. I hope He'll help us to broadcast it, you know. Let it fall where it will, you know. One soul is just as precious as another soul. Did you know that? The soul of a rich man is no different to the soul of a poor man. Jesus died for both of them. And so, I like the old-fashioned way. I don't like this, as Brother Rick Jones says sometime, I don't like this walk the aisle and smile a while. But I do like heartfelt religion. I really do. I love heartfelt preaching. I love heartfelt singing. I love heartfelt testimonies. I tell you, it's there's nothing like it. And there's nothing that will be as effective upon other people as the real worship of God. It's a real thing. Well, I'm going to close. I pray God will bless the message. This is what is on my heart, and I've done the very best I can to deliver it to you. And I pray the Lord will bless it. Any testimony from anybody today? Any word?